So today then is Ascension Sunday, as I've already said, the day when we remember that time when Jesus left this earth in a physical sense and returned to the Father. Now, as they met for that last time, the disciples, with Jesus, we read that they worshipped him. But we also read that others worried and doubted. But it's not surprising, is it? They'd spent 3 years closely with Jesus. He changed their lives and turned them upside down. They knew where they were going, following him every day. But now he was going. What were they to do? Who would lead them? Where would they go? The future looked uncertain. What next? They must have wondered. What next? It's a question you might be asking yourself too. I am. You know, it seems only 2 minutes since I left college armed with my new spanking theology degree, excited about coming here to Penrith as a probationer minister at the tender age of 54 years old. You know, that was 4 years ago now. And now, of course, Tracy and I are once more having to think about what's next. Do we feel that we should stay for another term in Penrith, or should we move on somewhere else? What's next for this church, I wonder? We're at a bit of a crossroads ourselves, aren't we? We're debating about what we do with the bridge building. We know, don't we, that our income doesn't match our expenditure. And to be fair, we probably all seem pretty worn out, don't we? So what next? And then what about us personally? Maybe you've got decisions you need to make about the future. Where's life going? Maybe something's come up that means you have to think about what tomorrow will bring. Will life really just stand still for you, or are there choices you need to make? Your own life now, think, are you happy with where you are? And then how's your relationship with God going? Is it still this wonderful love affair of intimate encounter with a God who loves you and walks with you every moment of every day? I hope it is, but maybe it isn't. So what next, I wonder? In that passage that Margaret read to us from Exodus, the people of Israel, along with their leader Moses, are stuck in the desert. They'd been there for months. They remembered with joy their flight from Egypt, how they'd left their imprisonment as slaves, and how they'd crossed the Red Sea and escaped their captors. But now here they were, at the bottom of Mount Sinai, desert all around them. What was next? And Moses, you know, he was asking himself the same question. He'd been a reluctant leader, hadn't he? He had told God that he wasn't smart enough, wasn't eloquent enough. Yes, God had provided a great escape for them, but here they were, in the middle of this desert, and he had over 2 million people looking to him to lead them and take them forward. So what next? Moses wanted reassurance from God. He wanted God to show him that God was with him, that God was still in control. You see, for Moses, knowing that the presence of God was with him, leading him, directing him, blessing him, was essential. Moses wanted to be confident that the God who brought them this far had a plan for where they were going. He wanted to know that God was right with them in whatever came next. And so Moses asked to see God's glory. He wanted to physically view God's presence with him. I wonder when the last time was that you saw the glory of God. Can you remember? I don't suppose it's something you'd easily forget, is it? Actually, I wonder if you've ever actually really seen the glory of God. Can you honestly say that you've encountered the physical presence presence of God, because I'm sure that I haven't, not really, not the full glory of God. Wouldn't it be great if we could see it? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't we all want to see God in all of God's glory if we could? Moses was in the wilderness. The road ahead wasn't clear. It scared him. And if God wasn't with him, then they were well and truly lost. Maybe you feel the same today. Perhaps wherever you are seems like a bit of a wilderness. Maybe your life like that desert, devoid of meaning or purpose or direction. And maybe it scares you. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's next, and you feel all alone. You know that you're very vulnerable. And where is God? Where's that relationship and that intimacy that you thought you once had? Maybe prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling. Promises in the Bible just seem like empty crutches for desperate people. Are you really there, God? And then what about us as a church? Do we know where we're going? Is the path ahead clear? Are we confident of God's presence with us? Or do we just keep on week after week, feeling a bit like we're in the desert too, just struggling somehow to keep the show on the road? So back to Moses. Moses asked God to show him God's glory, to reveal himself to Moses. And here's what God says. This bit is really interesting. God says that he will show Moses his glory, but he will hide Moses in the crevice of a rock and cover him with his hand until God has passed by. God will then come and walk right past Moses. But Moses will only get to see God from behind. In some translations of the Bible, it says that Moses will only see God's hind parts. It's the kind of verse that would get young boys sniggering, and Laura, obviously, as well. What it means is that Moses will only get to see God's backside. And that's what happened. Moses is on top of Mount Sinai, and God does what God says. God passes by, and Moses looks and sees God from behind. So what's that all about? It all seems a bit random, maybe, but actually I think there's something really significant going on here. And I believe that perhaps it's this. The best that Moses, or indeed any of us, you or me, can ever hope to see of God is the bit where God has already been. We can only see God from behind. Or in other words, we can only look back and see what God has done where God has previously travelled. We can only see the hind parts of God. Okay, let me make a quick sidetrack for a moment, if I can. The God of the Hebrew people was different to the gods of the nations that surrounded them. You see, their God couldn't be seen. All the other gods around them at the time were idols made of wood or stone or silver or gold. It was easy to relate to a god like that. There was an image that you could identify with. You could hold their gods. You could touch their gods. It was easy to worship those gods. But God was different. God had said, I am who I am. There was no image of God. God had no form, no structure. This chapter comes just after the people had built the golden calf. The Jews were tired of not being able to see their God. They wanted an image to worship. They're all alone in the wilderness. There are no other gods in the desert. And perhaps, too, we want an image of God that we can more easily relate to. Maybe we want something that's obvious to touch and to hold and to reassure us that we're on the right track. So I wonder, what is it that we make into our God? Maybe it's money or possessions, or family, or church, or religion. Maybe it's just sticking to what we know, the familiar, the comfortable, anything that we can cling on to, something tangible, measurable, something obvious, something that we can see. But you know, our God is different to that. The people wanted a God that they could locate, but God said, you can only see where I've been. Anyway, let's get back to the main point, shall we? We can only see the hind parts of God. We only get to view where God has been. In fact, the best view we have of God is what God has done in the past. You see, we can never hold on to a hope for what God will do in the future without rooting it in what God has done in the past. So do you want to know what God is capable of tomorrow? Well then look and see what God did yesterday. Do you want the reassurance that God is with you today? Then look at how God has been with you up until then now. Do you ever doubt that God can help in whatever tomorrow will bring? Well, look back and see how God has helped you in the past. Do you despair how God will ever sort this mess out in your life? Well, see where God has been in your life so far. See how God has sorted everything out up until this point. Do you wonder if there's a future for you or maybe for our church? Then look at where God has been before and be in no doubt that God will carry on what God has started. Now, it just may be that you're in a difficult period in your life now. You may be worried sick about what the future holds. You might not know quite what to do or how you'll cope. You're in a desert, a wilderness. But here you are, you've made it this far, and somehow as you look back you can see that God really did provide, God has been with you. Or as a church we may worry about how life is. We look at our finances or the empty seats maybe. None of us is getting any younger, are we? Where are the young families? Look back and see what God has done. You see, your history isn't just something to reminisce over and pine for. God's track record is your hope, your promise for tomorrow. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him to 1,000 generations." So Moses does get to see God. He gets to see God's hind part. But of course, it was only a small part of God that Moses saw. And that means that there was so much more of God that Moses didn't see. And you know, that's true for us too. We can look back and see where God has been, but it's only a small part of God that we'll be looking at. And here's why this bit is important. Whatever your view of God is, I want to tell you that God is so much more than that. Whatever you can imagine God can do so much more. You see, God is far bigger, far more powerful, far more loving, far more able, far greater than anything you can possibly see or view or imagine. You see, our view of God is only ever limited to God's hind parts. Ephesians 3:20, one of my favourite verses, says, "He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." You see, with God there is what we know, what we can see, what we can work out, but there is so much more of God that we do not know, that we cannot see, that we cannot work out. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see things imperfectly, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely." We humans are programmed to want to see things completely, aren't we? We all want certainty and fact and the full picture. It's difficult for us to be content with just a partial view. But the truth is, we couldn't handle the full sight of God's glory. We'd never be able to absorb it. God allows us to see the bit of God that we're able to take in. But there's so much more to God than that. There is so much that we haven't begun to even comprehend yet. So in your life, wherever you find yourself, there's more of God to discover, more of God to be revealed to you, more of God's love and God's power for you to explore. And for us as a church, let us never limit our expectations of what God can do. Let us not reduce God to our own understanding or comprehension, because there's more, much, much more. But there's just one more point I want to make before I end, and it's this. Yes, all we can see is where God has been, what God has done in the past. And yes, there is so much more of God that we haven't yet seen. But there is also so much more that God wants to do. In that very first that Margaret read to us from Exodus 33, God says to Moses, "Get going. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The reason that God showed Moses where he'd been was because God wanted Moses to move on someplace else. God wanted Moses to follow. God, you see, is a God of motion, a God of movement, of journey, a God of progress. God never stands still. All through the Bible we read of people being challenged to go or leave or travel or move or follow. In Isaiah it says that God is doing a new thing. And God is. God is always wanting to take us the next step, the next mile, the next encounter. God wants to give you so much more of himself. And all that God asks is that you are prepared to follow. You can't see the future. You won't be able to know the destination, but you will know the one who you're following as God goes ahead of you. So the question I want to leave you with is the question that I started with. What next? What is God doing right now, today, in you? And where is your vision for where God is leading next? It's great to look back as we rejoice and see where God has been, what God has been doing. But where are we going? I ask us as a church, but I also ask you as individuals, where is God taking you next? There is so much more that God wants to do in your life and in our life as a church. So are you willing to step out and go? Will you trust in the God who you follow? The God who, where God has already been, who has proved to you his love and power in the past, and who wants you to experience so much more than you could ever imagine. What next, I wonder? Amen.